we're starting the podcast. You know, this is, we're starting the podcast. We're coming in hot. We're coming in hot with the podcast. Yo, 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 Thought Warriors, what is up? Higher Learning is on. It's I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Ann Lindsay.
Yeah, we have to talk about something that just happened here. Rachel acting like she's a passport expert and then finding out that she's not and not being able to admit that she got it wrong.
Okay. First of all, just hearing you say that, it reminds me of my dad. And second.
Whoa. I reminded you of my living role model?
What you said about me, that I can't say that I'm wrong. No, what you said about me reminds me.
Do you think that the judge would go fishing with me?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm telling you.
You remember my dad is from the country. Yeah. So like my dad is all about the horseback riding, fishing, hunting.
Oh, the judge. Anyway, tell him what you just did to me. Tell him how it was.
So Van is for some reason randomly going through, because Van is all about the random things in life, is going through his passport book and starts noting that he's been to the same places over and over and over again, which he finds funny. You were laughing. Nobody else was. Anyways. So he's noting all of this. I'm asking him about the places he travels. Then he starts saying, I'm about out of pages. Can I buy more pages for my book? Mm-hmm. To which I answer, no, you cannot. True. Then he asks a follow-up question and he says,
right. Yeah.
Can I buy a bigger book with more pages?
And then
to which
you said no, you
cannot. Right. And then Trudy came in, voice of reason, and said, actually, you can buy a passport with more.
With more pages. And Rachel was like, yeah, boom. I was like, boom, what? I asked two questions.
I answered the first one right, is what I said.
I asked two questions, and it was about passport book pages. Can you buy more pages? Which is, now that I think about it, a really stupid question. Because how are you going to put more pages into the passport book?
I don't know.
Okay, which is so okay. And then I asked the second question, can I buy a book with bigger pages? I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, what if I traveled all the time? I wouldn't have enough pages in this book.
Yeah.
So can I buy more? You're just full? Like,
because it's 10 years. I actually think I have my passport.
Let me see.
Oddly enough, I'm talking about you. Oddly enough.
You have your passport on you.
Actually, no, I lie.
Do you have stamps all over it?
I do.
Stamps all over
it. We used it twice this summer.
That's right, because you went to South America. And you went
to Cancun. Last year we were in Aruba.
Mm-hmm. South America, Aruba, Cancun. Aruba. Who is that, by the way?
Key Largo. Oh, wait, I might have made that up. Beach Boys.
That's the Beach Boys? That was when the Beach Boys.
That's where we want to go, remember?
But that's when the Beach Boys started to suck, right?
Okay, that song does not, though.
What? Is that song okay? Because here's the thing, Beach Boy purists, because Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is one of the finest minds in music that's ever lived. Like, he is, like, okay. The stuff that they were doing, like Pet Sounds and all of that stuff early on, that was really, really important music that they were doing, the Beach Boys were. But then later on, I guess, when I first knew about the Beach Boys, I guess they went pop or something like that. And that's when we knew the Beach Boys. And so we got, I guess, the watered down Beach Boys is my understanding of that. This is a black dude from Baton Rouge's understanding of the Beach Boys. Because I think that song that we're singing, is that song called Kokomo?
Kokomo, yeah.
Yeah, that's the song. See, the Kokomo Beach Boys is actually frowned upon.
Oh, this is news to me. It's such
true.
A popular song.
It's a very
popular
song.
That I thought we all
song.
Loved it. Let's see. It came out in 1988.
So the Kokomo Beach Boys is actually supposedly frowned upon, whereas the Beach Boys from earlier on, that's actually supposed to be some of the best American music ever made, like Pet Sounds and stuff. Yeah, it's true.
So did you know? I didn't realize that they had been going that long. 1961.
Yeah, Beach Boys. Beach Boys.
See, I first came into the Beach Boys because of Full House. You know, Uncle Jesse.
He was
in
the Beach Boys.
Always getting down with the Beach Boys.
That's when the shit jumped the shark. When they put him in the Beach Boys, and that's kind of when people were like, "This is not the same type of Beach Boys shit," but it was different. And this kind of makes it, when I think about this, I think about hip hop, right? Because the Beach Boys have been going since 1961. The Beach Boys had a phase where there was really serious cutting edge music. And then they had a phase where they were more commercial. A lot of artists have that. Stevie Wonder had that. All throughout the 70s, Stevie Wonder's making the best music ever made. Mm-hmm. And then by the time we first listened to Stevie Wonder, it's I Just Called to Say I Love You and Part-Time Lover and all of that stuff, right? I'm thinking, but I see Jay-Z, I see Nas. Mm. Who are we going to be listening to? Who are we going to be going to 10, 20 years from now when they're in their 60s, in their 70s, are they still doing their things?
But are they still going to be doing their things but with a twist? Like you're saying these other artists have? Like they changed a little bit from their roots to popularize themselves to what's going down?
See, I don't think we've had that yet. Have we had that? Has anybody done that? Has anybody gone from being like a really important hip-hop artist, right? Cutting edge of hip-hop, really important, critically acclaimed music, and to like doing something
there's
kitschy.
Somebody.
Maybe Nelly with the
country music?
With the Florida Georgia Line band. Florida Georgia Line?
Yeah.
What's the name? Why is that the name of the band? Just because that's where they're from? The Florida Georgia Line?
I'm assuming so. I'm not familiar with their music. I know you're looking at me truly asking for knowledge on Florida Georgia Line. I don't know.
Are you anti-country music? You don't listen to it?
No, I'm a huge 90s country music fan, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I like country music.
Okay,
I dig it. Like, but I like Garth. That's who I like.
You ain't said but a word.
I like Garth.
Have you seen him in concert?
No, Garth is
one
so
of the
amazing.
Best concerts I've ever been to. I'm a huge Garth Brooks fan. Like,
he's
no, truly van, huge.
He's
did you see
man.
My Keith Urban interview?
No, I didn't see it.
With the toes? Since you say
I can't do it, right? I can't watch your interviews because I keep waiting for something to happen, like what happened to my guy.
To your who?
You know who my guy is.
No, I really am like, who are you talking about?
My man, Soup Kitchen.
Oh. Ever since- Stop. Hey, I met a thought warrior out in the wild this weekend.
Did you now? Who did you meet?
Want to give a shout out to Stephen Curry, who is...
Stephen Curry. Basketball player? Steph Curry?
Stephen Curry.
Okay.
That's his name.
I know.
That's his name. And he wanted me to say, not wanted me to say, but he definitely wanted me to know he's a thought warrior. That's what he called himself.
He said that?
And swear. Wow. And actually, he said thought listener. And I go, warrior? Oh, right. And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, Dan, that's my man. Tell him I said what's up.
Yeah.
So
let me tell you something. That means more to me than all the things combined.
I'm so glad I could bring that to you.
It is. Like, man, Steph Curry is just living right. Steph Curry is just living right. So the only way I would lose faith in humanity is if Steph went left in some way. I know that's a lot of pressure for him. But Steph has the work ethic. Steph has a great marriage. It's not that obviously nobody's perfect, but Steph is just trying. I hope the Warriors come back, man. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. So he's
fun to watch him win.
He definitely mentioned you. He mentioned being a thought warrior. And I thought that was cool. So I'm bringing it to our podcast.
It is very cool.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
You have poofy stuff on your shoulders. It poofs.
And you have pants on your door. What's the point?
Well, so here's the deal. These pants on my door are because of Bozeman. LSU sent me a lot of gear, and I was wearing it, and I took Bozeman out, and Bozeman decided mid-walk that he was going to jump on me, and then he dirtied up my LSU pants, so I had to wash them, and I don't dry stuff that I care about, so I hang them up.
Okay, smart.
So the poofy shoulders right there, what do you call that style? I've always enjoyed that style.
Really?
When the shoulders are a little poofed like that, is there a name for that?
So you like a shoulder pad. These are not shoulder pads, but...
Oh, that was the era.
Right?
Why did that era stop?
It's coming back.
Wasn't that more like the 80s, the shoulder pads?
But think of Julia Roberts. Pretty Woman. Think about that. That was right on the cusp. Maybe that's 89, 90.
Did she have shoulder pads in Pretty Woman?
Yeah. When she changed, you know?
when she glowed up, she had shoulder pads. So yeah, the shoulder pads era was a good era. Are they?
Dresses and shirts have shoulder pads now. Blazers have shoulder pads. It's back. It should have never left.
I want to ask your opinion on something else, women's fashion. Can we talk about it?
Sure.
Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on this. And I want all the women listening to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on this. Kitten heels. You are a fan or not?
How old am I?
You're 36?
No, I'm at, it depends on the age.
You depend on the age. Would you wear kitten heels now?
I would never. That's a strong no for me, and for various reasons. I'm short. I'm short, and I height. My mom's tall. My sisters are tall. I'm trying to get every little bit of height that I can. I'm gonna wear the highest heels possible. Because I'm short, I need to elongate my legs. A kitten heel ain't gonna do that for me. Just go with flats.
I like a kitten heel. I always have. It reminds me of my teachers in elementary school.
And you were looking at your teachers like that in elementary school?
Yeah. Miss Grantinetti.
Wow.
I never forget. Miss Grantinetti.
Her in that heel?
She looked like Vanna White. And early on, my mother saw it. She saw the car driving down to Vanilla Village. She saw it. And she grabbed the steering wheel and she steered me back over into Chocolate Land. She was like, oh, you think Miss Grantinetti is pretty, huh? It's pretty, huh? My mother was like, go look at the TV. There's a Janet Jackson video on. Go and watch it. Don't move till you've watched a 3-hour block of Janet Jackson videos. And I fell in love with Janet. My mom saw it. She saw it. She saw it happening. She's like, American Beauty standards getting to my boy. He's looking at his first grade teacher. It's going crazy. No, pull him back. And she did it. She's so smart like that.
I want to come back to the heels.
Okay.
Now, I think at the time that you were in elementary, a kitten heel might have been more acceptable. But now, mm-mm.
No.
It's now, not maybe there's an exception. Maybe if like you're... No.
You're about to say something. And it was going to be problematic. You paused. No. Maybe no. If I was going to say
I just know. Some people like a kitten heel.
Like who? That. Like who likes a kitten heel?
I usually see it in women who are a little bit older than me wear a kitten heel.
Right.
I think my mom wears a kitten heel. I'm pretty sure my mom wears a kitten heel.
Let me tell you something right now. If your mother wears a kitten heel, she's offended right now. Because I can tell you right now, anyone that wears a kitten heel,
Obama wears kitten heels.
Is mad at you. Anyone who wears a kitten heel is mad at you right now. Because
I said it's not for me.
I asked you if you would wear a kitten heel and you said
absolutely
never.
And I stand by that.
Well, I wonder if there's anything that I absolutely would never wear. Not really.
Flip-flops?
Wear them all the time.
With the toes out? No, and I'm talking not the cover, not the flap over the foot. I'm talking in between the toe.
Can't do it.
Exactly. I know it. I know you can't wear flip-flops. Like,
but that's only because it's my feet, size 14 feet, and it's just going to look, it looks so whack, y'all. It looks so whack. It looks just like a fat Goliath's feet. Just like stomping through the con. Then my shoes, my feet are so flat, they slide. They always make contact with the concrete, which freaks me out. Then I go wash them. Nah, I will never do it. Never. When you hear you say never, never. Even when we go to the beach, I come out with the Adidas flip-flops, and they get pretty hot. How was your weekend? Otherwise, you worked, But then what
I
else happened?
All weekend. I worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. Got up this morning, had to work. I got to work tonight. I'm tired.
Well, you got to work tonight. What you got to do tonight?
I have an interview.
Who you
interviewing? John Legend.
John Legend?
Mm-hmm.
The man who was supposed to come on this very podcast?
Was he?
Yep. He told me personally.
What happened? I'll be sure to bring it up.
He told me personally that he would come on the podcast before the election. And John is a legendary liar. That's what happened.
Wow. Don't call our thought warriors that.
He's not a liar. He's a cool guy. I'm sure forgot about it. But here's the thing with me. I don't ask twice. If
you're prideful. That's
if I don't,
why.
I don't ask twice. I don't come back and say, hey, remember you said you were going to come on the pod? No. I don't ask twice. But John Legend is a great guy. What's your favorite John Legend song?
Oof. I like So High, but
So High.
The song, my sister, they played, it was her first dance at her wedding. Mm. I can't think of it right now.
Wow.
But So High, that whole CD, you could just press play and let the whole thing go.
That's what people say when they don't have a good answer.
No, I just gave you one.
Not really.
I just said So High.
What's your favorite? I like them all.
I didn't say that.
That whole CD can
run
just
the
go.
Tape, but run the tape back.
That whole CD can go. You should talk to John Legend about that tonight. You should ask him. He's like, you know, John, you've been doing this for a long time, and you've really never made a song that just grabbed me. I don't know what
That's
it is.
It's not true. Don't do that.
You've really
I can't
never
stand
made
you.
A song that just got to me, John. What do you think that is, John? Why do you think?
Now, Stay you with do, you. That's what it
oh,
is.
Oh, that's a great song.
That's what it is.
That's a great song. Let me ask you a question. When you interview like a John Legend for Extra, are you allowed to ask controversial questions like about Chrissy Teigen's antics or not even the antics or like how they overly came at her too hard? Are you allowed to talk about that stuff?
It depends. So right. It depends what the publicist says. Sometimes it's like, don't ask about this. It's off limits. But typically we don't like to do gotcha interviews. And as an interviewer, I don't like that. So if you're there to promote something, we're there to interview you, I don't like to do the headline stuff because I guess I know what it's like to be on the other side of it. Uh-huh. And so it's like you're there to talk about something you're excited about. So let's promote it. We can have fun in other ways. I don't need a gotcha headline to have a good interview. That's where I come from. Now, if it falls in my lap, you know, like Exhibit A, then I'm going to run with it because that's what you're supposed to do as an interviewer.
It's hard for me. Because the stuff that I want to know is always problematic. Like we had Martin Luther King Jr. III on the show. Do you know what I wanted to know from him?
What?
And look, it's none of that stuff. There's plenty of stuff about Dr. King's life that people always want to talk about. That's not what I want to know. He talked when he was on here about what got his father killed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all of these different thoughts, conspiracy theories, just different things about who actually killed Dr. King, whether or not James Earl Ray was a lone shooter or whether or not the CIA, FBI, or some other governmental organization was involved in taking out Dr. King. There's deep knowledge and well-documented that J. Edgar Hoover was no fan of Dr. King's, and the FBI might have had something to do with it. Maybe the CIA had something to do with it, was surveilling Dr. King. Who knows, right? And so when he said that, I wanted to ask him, given what people think happened to Dr. King, does it bother you on his birthday when the FBI and the CIA tweet out, happy birthday to Dr. King. This is what his legacy meant to this and this and this and that.
I don't know why you couldn't ask that question.
I thought that maybe it would have been inappropriate to ask him that. You know, I thought that maybe it's inappropriate to ask him that because remember, Dr. King to us is this huge historical figure, but that's his dad. Can you imagine?
Right. No, no, no.
That's his dad. So I don't know. I don't know.
I think it called for it. The question before would lead up to you doing a follow up with that. It wouldn't have been random. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So you worked the Emmys last night.
I did.
Were you surprised that they let you in?
I'm not playing with you, Van. They let them all in.
Just were you surprised?
They didn't all go on stage.
That they let you in because you're black, okay?
Yeah.
And the Emmys put their foot in the nigga's ass last night. This was crazy. Jesus Christ, the Emmys.
Were you surprised? Because I feel like we've had discussions about other award shows. Like I thought about you in this. We've had discussions with other award shows, and I feel like you wouldn't have been surprised by this.
No, I wouldn't have been surprised by it. I'm not super surprised by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I am surprised.
Okay.
When I say I'm not surprised, meaning it's not that I don't think that there was enough quality content. How can I say this? When I say I'm surprised that they actually did it. I know that I don't think that the Emmys, I don't think that the Emmys year to year thinks that the art that black creators are putting out is the best art. I think that there's a cultural dividing line there that a lot of times people who analyze and judge this art can't get past. And I think that they really genuinely feel this way. Like we watch mm-hmm. things and we think that they're great, right? But the reason why there needs to be more diversity inside these places is because like what we just talked about, you know how many people back in the hood, back where I'm from in Baton Rouge, don't know that Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson is super important American music. They would never think about that. Mm-hmm. There's a cultural barrier there that even if they did hear it, may stop them from appreciating it in the same way.
Sure.
So in order for Pet Sounds to be appreciated, either I have to go learn about it, bring it back to them and listen to it till they appreciate it, or there has to be somebody that represents them there. That's why you mm-hmm. need it. I'm surprised that in the face of me knowing that there's that barrier, that they actually didn't put a couple of more people across and on the stage just for show. I think the more surprising thing is that they had the nuts to really vote their hearts and keep some people off the stage because they know that this is going to open them up to such criticism.
I think that they were so busy touting the fact that it was historic with nominations mm-hmm. that they didn't care who got the trophy at the end of the day, because mm-hmm. there was such a number of people of color that were nominated for these categories. I mean, you look at some of these categories. Which category is it that majority of the people in the category are of color?
Right.
And still, it is the outstanding lead actor in a drama series. You've got Reggae Jean Page, Billy Porter, Jonathan Majors, Sterling K. Brown. 4 out of the 6 nominated were of color.
And who
it
won
was
that
Josh,
award?
Josh O'Connor, The Crown, won.
Right. Right.
So I think it's more that's what they were looking at, not excusing it because it's ridiculous. Because I'll tell you, even being on the red carpet and doing interviews, it was really amazing because there were so many people of color. Like everybody we were talking to, I was so excited. When you're talking about fashion and you're talking about best dress, because of course that's a lot of what we do on Extra, I'm looking at all these beautiful black people out here just killing it in fashion. And that's why, to me, I was talking to people like they already won. You should have heard me talking to MJ Rodriguez. I asked her where she was going to put a trophy. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, like, how are you celebrating tonight? Because it was just, to me, it was just such a no-brainer. Mm. And so I think that's what was shocking. You're touting, you know, you have Bowen Yang being an Asian American nominated in his category for SNL. That was a first. Mm. And nothing.
So
I think they just wanted us there.
Ultimately, white actors swept all 12 lead and supporting races, comedy, drama, and the limited series categories. So here's the thing. I can't say that I'm mad about it.
Okay.
I can't say that I'm mad about it. Surprised, but not mad, because I don't think I put a lot of stock into it anymore, you know? I don't think mm-hmm. it bothers me that much anymore. And also, I'll say something else. Ted Lasso won a lot of awards last night.
Did you think that they should have?
Hell yeah. I got to be real, man.
No.
like, I gotta be real, man. Ted Lasso is fucking great and everybody is amazing. And I thought that they deserved it. Like, I want to see representation on that award stage as much as anyone. It's more than most. But, you know, Ted Lasso, they won a lot. They didn't win all of them. I mean, they might have won everything they were nominated for. I'm not sure, but they won a lot. So,
Jason, yes. Uh-huh. Hannah, yes. Brett, for outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series, mm-hmm. I didn't get that win. That was mm-hmm. the only one where I was like, don't understand that one.
Right.
That one, because there were a number of people that were voted for best supporting actor and from Ted Lasso in a comedy series. And so mm-hmm. best outstanding is what it is. So I figured they'd cancel each other out. Mm-hmm. And so then you might have like a Bowen Yang win or maybe a Kenan Thompson. And no.
Who else was in the category?
So you had Brett Goldstein, I'm not sure quite how mm-hmm. you say it. Ted Lasso, who was the winner. You had Carl Clemens Hopkins from Hacks, which I don't know if you've seen Hacks, but it is phenomenal.
Right.
Brendan Hunt, who's the assistant coach for Ted Lasso. Nick Mohammed, who's like the third coach, who works his way up from being like the towel guy to the third coach.
He's great.
And Ted Lasso. Paul Reiser, The Kominsky Method. I don't watch The Kominsky Method, but I hear mm-hmm. it's great. Jeremy Swift, Ted Lasso, Kenan Thompson, Saturday Night Live, and Bowen Yang, Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Out of all those, would you have given it to Brett?
Yeah. I mean,
he plays an angry man.
Brett, oh, so Brett is Beard on Ted Lasso, right? Or is he Roy Kent?
He's Roy Kent.
Roy Kent is amazing.
He's great. He's great as playing that angry man, mm-hmm. okay, who's losing his career. Angry man who's losing his career. I've not seen season 2 yet. But was he better than Bowen Yang on Saturday Night Live? I don't know.
Right.
Because he's giving us more of a dynamic character on Saturday Night Live. He's not one-dimensional on Saturday Night Live. I don't know.
But Roy Kent isn't one-dimensional, though. Not to me.
On season 2 or season 1?
Well, even season 1, he's not. Like, even on season 1, Roy Kent isn't one-dimensional to me. I think Roy Kent. But look, I love Ted Lasso. I think that this is just one of those weird years. And here's the thing. I think there should never be a weird year. There should never be a weird year where Black performers aren't recognized. But this is going to be one of those years. It's going to lead to a lot of talk about television shows and about the Emmys. And next year, they'll overcompensate. One performer that I think consistently is getting overshadowed and overlooked for her contributions going on years and years and years is Tracee Ellis Ross.
I knew you were going to say that.
Continuously find somebody to give that award to as long as Blackish has been on, other than Tracee, and Anthony Anderson as well. I don't understand how they don't get the love for their characters on that show that they should, man. It's weird, really weird.
I knew you were going to say Tracee, that's your friend, but also mm-hmm. well-deserving of getting an Emmy. Like, between Anthony Anderson and Tracee Ellis Ross, they've almost together received almost 20 nominations. They've almost been nominated 20 times and have never won. I knew Tracee wasn't going to win because Jean Smart in Hacks is just, to me, out of this world in that role.
Right.
So I knew that is a tough category that she's in.
Yeah.
But at this point, Blackish has been groundbreaking to me in a number of ways. And I've resonated with it, like with that show in a way that I did with the Cosbys back in the day. Mm-hmm. So to me, it just speaks to it just shows Black people in a different way that you don't normally see them. And I think that they're like taking away from the impact that that has on the culture. And that's why that they should have won an Emmy at this point.
Hmm. Also, just to put a button on the Emmys, Michael K. Williams did not win. And I was really hoping that Michael K. Williams would be able to win for his role in Lovecraft Country. It's we got kind of knocked in our teeth a couple of times this year with that. I thought that we would be able to say goodbye to Chadwick Boseman at the Academy Awards by him winning Best Actor for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And I thought that we would be able to do the same for Michael K. Williams And it just it gets to me because it's like Heath Ledger was awesome as the Joker, right? Super awesome, amazing actor acting as the Joker. Mm-hmm. But it was obvious that he was going to win that Academy Award because, you know, he had passed away and there was going to be a groundswell of that. And then he did win. And then I'm not sure if Michael K. Williams, if the voting was still going on at that time, I'm not sure because he died pretty close to the award ceremony. But with Chadwick, it's like, great job in the movie, fantastic job in the movie. And he passed away, he still doesn't win. So there's just some barriers there.
That's a good point about the voting. And I wonder that too, because when we got our sheets, like our press kits and our sheets of who was walking the red carpet, the confirmed list of who was attending, they had Michael K. Williams on it.
Yeah. So it definitely probably came out.
So that was tough to see. I do want to acknowledge though that although no people of color won when it came for an Emmy for acting, you know, you had Michaela Cole win for outstanding writing for a limited or anthology series or movie for I May Destroy You, which was huge because that was a historic win. RuPaul's Drag Race won, and there was one more that won as well.
Yeah.
That's slipping my mind.
More black shows is the answer.
Okay, Hamilton. Hamilton.
Hamilton. What's Hamilton?
Outstanding Variety Special.
What's that? Hamilton, the fucking shit?
The play. The Broadway play. Remember, because they recorded it and they put it on. Don't take away from that.
Shouldn't have won.
We've discussed Hamilton on here. But anyways, Hamilton won.
Shouldn't have won.
Okay, who would you have given it to? It was Hamilton, Bo Burnham.
Mm-hmm. Bo Burnham was good. Keep going.
David Burns, American Utopia, 846, Dave Chappelle, Friends, The Reunion, a West Wing special.
What do you think I would have given it to?
846.
846 is more real than that fucking Hamilton bullshit. Fuck Hamilton, man. I know y'all love Hamilton because they up there rapping about, I'm Alexander Hamilton, and here, check it out. We're going to do the Constitution. Here
why,
I am.
Why
I'm Hamilton.
From the 80s.
Because that's how they, that's, because they can't, the 80s. They can't do, they got to be from the 80s because they can't do no real gangster shit.
You haven't seen it because they don't sound like that.
But they can't do no real gangster shit. It can't be like, no, yo, I'm motherfucking Hamilton. Yo, 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 setting America free so there's pitches in these hoes. You can't,
okay,
you can't.
No, they're not. Like, you're right. You're correct.
They can't do that. They can't do the gangster shit. So it's got to be, hoo, ha, he, hoo, ha. I am,
okay,
Thomas
stop.
Jefferson. Ooh,
this
ooh,
must
ah.
stop.
Thomas
it
Jefferson.
Must stop immediately.
Ooh,
Find some here, more words. Find some
I
more
am.
Words. Stop.
Here I am. Check out my shoes. I'm I'm George Washington. I got wooden teeth.
Trudy, a gift,
me
please.
A
gift, I mean. A gift. A gift. Make a gift.
That's the way it's
make a gift
be.
Out of that, please. Wait. Speaking of, I said that you were an 80s rapper. Do you know that kids now are calling the 90s and 80s the late 1900s? And like people our age are feeling a certain way about it. This is happening. They're like, oh, that's music from the late 1900s.
Wow.
How does that make you feel?
Whatever. It's something that happens. Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
Okay. More Homeland Security agents are being sent to Del Rio, Texas. There is a Haitian migrant crisis that is going on down there now. An additional 600 Homeland Security personnel have been sent to the border in Del Rio, Texas. Thousands of refugees are camped under a bridge and are being taken back to Haiti, says the Homeland Security Secretary. They're going to take these people back to Haiti. There's more than 14,500 migrants. The vast majority of them are Haitian, are facing extremely high temperatures down there in Texas and poor conditions as they camp under a bridge. So obviously we know that there's trouble in Haiti. There's the double whammy down there in Haiti of the country just going through a pretty violent military coup, along with a devastating earthquake. So there are thousands of people who are looking to get out of Haiti. A lot of those people made a long, long journey to the border to try to get into the United States of America. And it looks like they are going to be sent back. Have you been keeping your eyes on this? Is this in your home state? And what are your thoughts?
Have you seen the encampments? Have you seen the footage of it?
I have.
I was watching it, and I don't know why. I was watching Fox News. CNN wasn't covering it. I'm sitting at work. I'm watching TV. And I'm watching their coverage of it. And all I kept thinking was, fuck you, Fox News. It was, I've never seen, it's on right now. It's on right now as we're podcasting at the same coverages, and they're showing the encampments, but it's what they're saying about these people that I was literally getting enraged as I was watching it, because they're talking about these people as if they're not human beings. They're talking about them as if they're animals that have come and crossed the border. And rather than realizing that these people are coming here, they're not coming just because they can come to the United States. They're coming out of pure desperation, trying to leave their home country because of the devastation or the danger that's there. And instead of Fox News focusing on how sad it is that these people are trying to escape their home country, they took it as an opportunity to blast not just the current administration. And I'm not saying that there might not be issues with the way that they're handling immigration, but they took it as the chance to just blast Biden and the administration, but then also to joke that none of those people have vaccination cards and none of those people, there's no COVID testing places for them to go get checked out as they've crossed over. And they were laughing about it. They thought that it was funny. And then they expressed sympathy for the Border Patrol and the authorities that have to be there rather than the families and the children who are encamped with sticks and sheets, taking baths in the river, trying to get whatever they can to try to find some refuge to feed themselves and get water. They're right. When I tell you the cameras are right there next to these people, they're right there. And you can see the sadness. You can see the suffering. And they're making fun of it. I couldn't get over how they were standing right next to them. And rather than maybe figuring out how we can help and resolve it, they took it as a chance to poke fun and to talk about the current administration. And I just kept thinking the lack of humanity of these people is absolutely disgusting. Fuck you, Fox News.
Wow. My thing is, I don't think Fox News should really have an issue with what's going on at the border, because the reality is that the Biden administration is treating the people there not very much different than the Trump administration did.
They never say it that way.
They are using Title 42 to expel these people and send them back to Haiti. Of course, you guys know Title 42 lets the government, the United States government, expel somebody from coming across the border and deny their migrant status, deny their status based upon the fact that they might have a communicable disease. This was put into effect under President Trump's in President Trump's administration, and it was used, I guess, to stop the spread of COVID-19. Really, what it was used to do is stop people from coming into the United States of America. Title 42 is one of many things, if we're being quite honest about it, in regards to immigration, that the Biden administration has actually kept around. Now, they've obviously stopped the wall bullshit, but a lot of Donald Trump's policy regarding immigration, the Biden administration has chose to keep around. Mm-hmm. And Title 42 is one of those things. There are some people that are coming across that have been vaccinated and have vaccination cards, apparently. So Fox News is full of bullshit. And, you know, obviously we could be vaccinating people as they came across looking for asylum, but we don't want to do that. We want to send them back. And the immigration discussion itself is a bear trap, a quagmire, whatever. Depends on how you look at it. I'll tell you the way I look at it. I think Haitians that want to come to America should be able to stay here. I'll tell you why. Okay. I think after the Haitian Revolution, Haiti was really bankrupt and made poor. And there was it was because of a lot of reasons, but one reason is because Haiti was made to pay reparations for fighting tooth and nail for their freedom. Mm-hmm. And they weren't really brought into the world community until they were able to pay those reparations, in large part, or at least in some portion of France. And so the expansion of Haiti and the growth of Haiti as a country has been impeded a lot by Western power. And colonialism and imperialism have impacted this island and have led to a lot of the instability on the island. And so when that instability, when those cracks become canyons, I think the humane thing to do, we're talking about 12,000 people, 14,000 people, whatever, would be to let them in America and provide them some way to live a better life. I don't believe in these ironclad closed borders. I do believe that we need to have some sort of policy in place to make sure that our borders are secure, meaning mm-hmm. that not just anybody can come over carrying anything, because that makes us susceptible to terror attacks. It makes us susceptible to the drug trade. But I think secure borders and closed borders are two different things. Secure borders just means we know who's coming in as much as we can. Closed borders means nobody can come in. And to be honest with you, I don't think the U.S. has the moral authority to tell people that they can't participate in the economy. I think that the economy has spread its tentacles all over the world. Mm-hmm. And has used and exploited people all over the world. So in many ways, the humane thing for the United States to do in return for its overrepresentation in geopolitical and geoeconomic world affairs is to let people come pay attention, be a part of the economy that they're being exploited for, and at least try to enrich themselves in some way off of it. So I don't know. I'll look at this situation. I just look at it. It's rich to me. But it's also, to be honest with you, Fox News missed an opportunity, and everybody misses an opportunity because we're playing a political game. Biden is the real narrative from Fox News should be that Biden is not handling this that much different than President Trump did. That but should be the real narrative.
But they're never going to say that. It's as if it stopped when Trump's presidency ended. And it started and it began with Biden. They don't look at it that way. Mm. But you're right.
Yeah, yeah. My heart goes out to it. I just hate to see people in that position. I saw two babies that were left at the border and left with a note that said that they were siblings. And you would think that a parent or somebody left them out there in hopes that those kids would be brought to the United States and maybe have a shot at a better life. Now, I should say that while the majority of the people are being sent back, there are some people that are making it through. And I'm not sure what the difference is. I'll have more information about it.
There's some kind of thing where within Title 42 where children or families can come over.
Okay. The LA Clippers are a part of we should change the G unit thing. It's not G unit. It's gentrification. I just want to touch on this. We don't have to get deep into this. This is just interesting, just so people know what we do for our own entertainment. The LA Clippers are building a brand new facility to play at, an arena down in Englewood. They're building it down there in Englewood. You know what they're doing? They're fucking over black people.
Black and brown.
Black and brown people. What do they do when they want to build a new stadium for so that motherfuckers can run up and down in shorts? They're fucking over black people. There are a lot of people down there in Englewood, and you might think, hey, it's going to bring a lot of jobs and revitalization to the Englewood area. And guess what? You're right. They're probably going to build some of those fancy living units and have a little grove. Maybe you get like a new fucking, I don't know, movie theater or something like that. All of that stuff will probably happen. But you know what else happens? Certain people who have been living in their homes for a long time and like their areas, now they got to move. They got to move. This story is very deep and it's very layered, but the Clippers are essentially being quiet, very, very mum on the fact that a lot of black and brown people are being displaced. Now, Rachel, I ask you, does the economic revitalization of an area make up for the fact that some people, real people, might be forced out of their homes for this?
Well, who are you revitalizing it for? That's what becomes the question. Because if you have to push a certain type of person out because you're rebuilding a community, but then you bring in a whole new set of people, then what are you really doing? You're making the community better by better, and I use that in quotations, by pushing a certain, not for the people who live there, for the new people who you expect to bring in, because you're bringing in new business and new buildings and commercial and residential spaces and all of that. But it got me thinking, because this is happening with the Clippers in Inglewood, but if you're in the LA area, you're a sports fan, then you know that this already happened with SoFi Stadium, which is huge if you've been there. And I don't even know what it looked like, because I'm new to LA. I don't even know what it looked like before they started building there, right there. And like, I think there was a percentage, just like 51% of the people who live in Inglewood are black and brown. Mm-hmm. And you already are hearing stories of anticipation of the fact that SoFi Stadium is there and the fact that they're building the new Clippers Stadium there, that rents are doubling.
Yeah, the rents. It's not even all the doubling. Homeowners. People are doubling. Their rents is going up. Imagine your rent.
That should be illegal.
Imagine this. 2-bedroom Inglewood apartment going from $1,100 a month to $2,700 a month.
That's robbery. That's those people should nuts. Be. Those people should go to jail.
It like $1,100 a month and $2,700 a month. That's not a different price range. That's a different life for your rent to go up.
It's illegal.
That's nuts.
It's criminal. I don't understand how. Like I understand what eminent domain is, but the fact that you are doing this to people, pushing people out with nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. No, they say most of the people who live there that are in their 50s, I think that own homes I might be getting that statistic wrong. But these people have been here for decades and decades, and you're being pushed out for an arena. You're being pushed out for a stadium. And what it got me thinking is, has it ever happened where you've seen the people who are benefiting from the stadium or arena speak out on behalf of the residents that are getting displaced?
No.
Has that ever happened? Because I would love to hear from a Kawhi who's from here, mm-hmm. right? Is he not?
From the IE.
What's that?
So.
What's the IE?
When they say that Kawhi.
San Diego?
Nah. When they say that Kawhi and Paul George are from LA, they're kind of from LA. Shout out to everybody in the Inland Empire, by the way. But the Kawhi's from Riverside or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, well, close enough.
Well, is it though? Is it close enough that you would care about this?
But like, Kawhi's from
Riverside, and then fucking Paul George is from Palmdale.
But does it have to be your community for you to care to see your people getting at a disadvantage just so people can come watch you play, like every, you know what I mean? Like every week, millions and millions of dollars. You got to drive through these communities to get to your arena. You're not oblivious to what's happening. And it would be amazing if there was some sort of fund, some sort of, you know, if you're going to tear down where these people live, build something next door. You're already in the business of building. I wouldn't even be shocked if these people are investing in some of these buildings that are starting to go up in Inglewood.
Wow.
I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the athletes, whether it's a GM, somebody affiliated who knows what's happening to this community as they're quote turning it around for the better. Mm-hmm. Something should be done because these people, this is the only home that they have ever known, and they are getting pushed out under eminent domain, which is just gentrification, which never benefits the people of that community, even though that's the lie that they continue to keep telling us. They'll never see it. Never see the benefits.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough for the people. You know what? There are two things that I want to cover. I want to cover this deeper. I want to talk to one of the residents and talk to somebody that's actually been impacted by this and get them on the podcast. You guys make this. I also want to talk about another story that we're not covering that is a big deal. The gangs inside of the LA Sheriff's Department. I want to talk about this. I watched some amazing things on gangs inside of the LA Sheriff's Department, all the different gangs, and how these Sheriff's Department guys are really, in a lot of ways, low life gang members that are getting it popping to a degree. All right, it's been a lot of good stuff on this, but I want to try to Thought Warriors put this on the street. Put it on the street, Thought Warriors. Put it on the street. If there's anybody out there who is like, I want to put a face to this issue. I know some people spoke to the LA Times about it, but if there's anyone out there that's being displaced because of what's going on with the Clipper Stadium, I want to really discuss it. I want to talk to them because these are real black people. These are real black and brown people that are going. And by the way, that number seems low. 51% of, so you mean to tell me 49% of Inglewood is white? I've never seen white Inglewood.
He wants to use
white or Asian America. I can see there being
some
Asian
American. Who account for an estimated 52% and 41%.
So that's what I'm saying.
Let me get it right. Excuse me.
So
the way that this is written, it says benefit blacks and Latinos who account for. So that means blacks account for 52% and Latinos count for 51%. Added up together, they count for 93% of Inglewood.
That's what I was about to say.
7%. My fault. Thank you for correcting me on that. That's ridiculous. I'm over here thinking insecure in my head. Well, I would. Remember when the Starbucks comes?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I live in Inglewood.
Nah, man.
It's really I would now. It's really I would.
Brown is fucking hell. Do we want to talk about what's going on in these Twitter streets with one Miss Karen Civil and Joyner Lucas and Jesse Wu? Do people know about this? I think we do. Okay. So look, here's the situation. There's something that's been happening on the old Twitter sphere, and it was a big cultural thing. It spawned the biggest clubhouse room in the history of clubhouse this
weekend. Oh, really?
It's the biggest clubhouse room ever.
Were you in it?
Okay. I was in the room. I was on the stage. So this is what happened. Comedian, singer, host, Jesse Wu, is in a back and forth legal battle with a woman named Karen Civil. Karen Civil is a branding expert, marketer. She's got her hands in everything. She's got her hands in hip hop. She is an expert sort of brand placement purses.
Wow.
What?
Twice you called her an expert.
Well, that's what she does.
An expert at what? Continue the story.
At marketing stuff. Okay, I'll give you an example of some stuff that Karen Civil did. She worked extensively with Lil Wayne back in the day. Mm-hmm. So when Lil Wayne was in jail and in Rikers Island, and there was that thing where you could write to Lil Wayne and then he would get the thing and write you back. Karen was the mastermind behind that. Okay. Karen did
that
a lot of stuff.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but she's done a lot of stuff. Like, she's very well respected. Mm-hmm. But she's not.
Tell
without
the story, because you keep using these words that are totally off from what the story is about.
Well, you won't let me introduce her.
Because she's an expert. She's well respected. Tell the story.
Can I ask you a question? What did I say about Jesse Wu?
You said comedian, singer. Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. It's easier to explain who Jesse Wu is than it is to explain who Karen is and why it matters.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
So Jesse and Karen have a back and forth where Karen had actually sued Jesse. She had sued her, and the case got thrown out. So
it was for defamation.
For defamation. And so the case got thrown out. I don't know the ins and outs of what was going on between Jesse and Karen. It seems to be very convoluted, but it's beside the point. Because what happens was, once that got throughout, Joyner Lucas, a rap artist, got ridiculously dope rap artist, super dope. There's a lot of stuff out there that I really like. I really fuck with what Joyner Lucas has been doing with his career. He threw out the fact that back in the day, he had paid Karen Civil $60,000 to help get his career off when he was like not hot, and she went ghost on him after that. This, along with other people, Karen has some issues with Cameron. I guess mm-hmm. Karen had an issue with Meek Mill. I guess Karen had an issue with whomever else. And so all of this came together to where there was a clubhouse room that was being made that said, is Karen Civil a fraud? Or I've been told y'all if Karen Civil was a fraud. She also, excuse me, don't let me leave this out. You know, Jason Lee from Hollywood Unlocked.
Right.
Unbelievably successful hip hop blog, right? Unbelievably successful hip hop and gossip blog. Jason Lee, huge for you guys that don't know Jason Lee. Apparently, he had gotten into it with Karen back in the day because he put something up on her up on Hollywood Unlocked about her. She asked him to take it down. And then when he wouldn't take it down, she then hired a hacker to hack his page and get his page taken down. This is something that she admitted to on the clubhouse. So on this clubhouse, it was Joyner Lucas talking to Karen, Jason Lee talking to Karen, Karen talking back, WAC 100 was involved, and the entire Saturday that everyone was watching, doing stuff, it was all of this stuff going down. How much of it do you know about? What do you think about it?
Well, let me ask you this. Who started the clubhouse?
It was started by a lady named Keita. And Keita does this thing on Clubhouse. It's called the Crenshaw District, if I think that I'm right. And by the way, they really have a good Crenshaw, a good clubhouse group going. They talk about all kinds of things, a lot of things that have to do with, you know, LA, some street politics stuff, some entertainment stuff. It really is dope what they do over there, right? And I mm-hmm. think I got it right. And she actually had a problem with Karen too, because apparently back in the day, she worked with Big U and she was around when Nipsey first got it popping. And I forgot to mention that Karen was part of Nipsey's movement when Nipsey was first getting popping. You know, she's done a lot for a lot of hip hop artists, and that's why Joyner Lucas would go to her to try to get her help in getting him on marketing wise and getting him placed in the blogs and all of that stuff. Anyway, so she started the room because I guess she had a problem with Karen Civil as well. And then Karen Civil ended up coming into the room.
Okay. So did she, and so as I wasn't in the clubhouse, you were, and you also mm-hmm. let us know you were on the stage, right. Of course. So did Karen address the rumors? Or the allegations, I should say, that Lucas Joyner was making.
Lucas Joyner or Joyner Lucas.
Joyner Lucas. Joyner Lucas. Do you know in my head I said it the other way first? I was like, no, it's Lucas Joyner.
She did. What she said is that she didn't steal any of his money. She says that she tried to make good on it. She took the money that he gave her, and then she went and got radio people. She went and got people to do this. She went and got people to do that. She went and got all of these people. She got them together and did her best to try to get him popping, and that she in no way tried to steal money from him. What Joyner Lucas is saying is, yo, Karen took the bread. Then when I was trying to get to Karen, I couldn't get to her. Like, I couldn't get to her. She wouldn't answer the phone. She was telling me she was on vacation, and I never got anything for my $60,000. And then I got popping on my own. It's been 7 years. Karen then called Charlamagne to try to get Joyner Lucas's number. Charlamagne called Joyner Lucas to try to get the number. Joyner Lucas said, yo, if she ain't got my $60,000, then there's really nothing to talk about.
And he's right. I got to say, I believe Joyner Lucas. Apologies for mixing that up the first time. Mm-hmm. I believe Joyner Lucas, because to me, Joyner Lucas doesn't have a reason to lie. And apparently this happened 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is the first time he's ever said anything. And if you listen to what he says, he's like, my back was against the wall. We were desperate. Somebody vouched for her. I believed it. I gave her the last bit I had. I had a kid on the way. Mm-hmm. I was desperate. And then the moment, and she seemed to be in contact with him until he paid her, and then she was out. To me, Karen's the one who's in a position of with her back against the wall where she's got to defend herself, her name, her reputation, because mm-hmm. she's in a battle with Jesse. She's now, then Joyner Lucas comes out. And then Cameron years ago told her to stop lying and mm-hmm. stealing. And nobody right. believed him then. So it's not to take away. I know I was saying, okay, you're calling her expert. You're expert. It's not to say that Karen hasn't done things in the past, but it also seems like her past is filled with some shady stuff. And will I ever know the truth? No. Well, it depends if is Joyner Lucas going to decide to sue her for the money. He never did take her to court, as far as we know, when it comes to that. He never said that. Seems like he moved on, and thankfully he's been successful in his own right, and he was able to do that without her. But you can't deny that where there's smoke, there's fire. And it really sounds like there's some shady things when it comes to her business. Maybe she wasn't always that way. Not to take away from her being a smart businesswoman, but it does seem that she's a little shady with her money when these stories are continuing to come out. I don't think everybody's just jumping on a Karen Civil bandwagon here. I think that there is some truth into this.
Hmm.
Now, that's your friend. What do you think?
I've done a lot of business with Karen. Karen has always been super a number one supportive of me. Like, Karen, just to be real with you, Karen's the type, yo, I'm about to do a podcast. Karen didn't ask for nothing for the podcast. Nothing. Sent me all kinds of Beats by Dre equipment to do the podcast with, my very first podcast. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm at TMZ. It's like, you know, I need access to this person. Hit up Karen. Karen got you. It's whatever. All I'm saying is I'm not in any of those rooms with I can't say what happened between Karen and Joyner Lucas. I can't say what happened between Karen and Jesse Wu. I don't know what happened. Karen and Cameron, whatever. But I do know, though, that if we keeping it all the way gangster, it is a bunch of people who have done business with Karen Civil and would say nothing other than the fact that it was straight up and that she is a friend and she is good on her word. That don't mean that those people don't have legitimate gripes. I don't know what they got. I hope everybody is okay. I don't know what they got. I do know that Joyner Lucas today now apparently is not just mad at Karen Civil. He is now mad at Steve Stout and United Masters, and that he's on his page right now blasting them and doing all of that. So I guess he's just going to war with the whole world. And well, I hear through the grapevine that Joyner Lucas is dropping pretty soon. So if he is dropping and if there's a song coming out.
You are so biased.
How, like, am I biased?
You literally, y'all.
How am I biased?
Put up a poll, is Van biased or not?
No, but you know what?
I know that she's your friend and I go hard for mine too.
But you know what the crazy thing is? I'm not biased, but you tried to paint me as biased from the beginning of this when I was trying to describe who Karen was.
Yes, I did. And now I'm listening to you again. You're like, he does have an album dropping.
So this is my thing.
You named one other person that he put on blast and you said he's going on blast with the whole world.
No, what I'm saying is, but that's today. So,
and you said he's going on blast with the whole world.
So here's the thing. Last week, Joyner Lucas was quiet about his issues with Karen Civil. Jesse Wu comes out, she's got issues with Karen Civil. Now Joyner Lucas comes out and has all of these issues. I'm not saying that those issues aren't real.
There is an implication here that there could be an ulterior motive to why he's speaking out.
So if Joyner, so my thing is, Joyner Lucas does everything that he does with Karen. Then he says, but Karen Civil is just a small fry. Let me tell you who else I got problems with. And if he does all that and then he drops this week, that doesn't make sense to say?
I mean, yeah, sure, you can imply that. But another way I look at it too is, and again, like, I don't know you, I don't know anybody. I'm just going off what I'm reading. And what I also definitely said was neither one of us know because we weren't in the rooms. We have no idea. You know, like, have you did you give $60,000 to her to flip? I don't know.
To be honest with you, that seems pretty cut and dry. He feels like he gave her 60 grand and didn't get his return on it. That's between them. I have no clue what the deal is.
But what I will say, something he said when he said the reason he never said anything before, which I did find a little compelling, is that he said he was afraid. As you just pointed out, she's extremely connected. You know, mm-hmm. you call her up. I need this person on my podcast. Hey, she gave you equipment. She is very connected in circles. I don't know her personally, but I definitely know who she is. Mm-hmm. You know, like she's out here. And it's because she's done a lot of things. And so he said he felt like he couldn't say anything because he would be blackballed in the industry. And that's a mm-hmm. legitimate fear. And now he feels like since he made it on his own, he can. Or maybe he feels like since, hey, I'm not the only one here, Jesse Wu's out here speaking, let me back up the fact that I have had a similar experience. You mm-hmm. feel empowered when sure. you hear other people's stories who've gone through what you've gone through.
Let me say something else. Me and Jesse are very cool as well. Like mm-hmm. me and Jesse are, I don't know Joyner, but me and Jesse are very cool as well. I don't know what's going on between Karen and Jesse. I can't say that who hurt who or who did what or who did what to whom. I know that it was some top tier Saturday afternoon mess
yeah.
that was fun and- to watch. It's funny to watch, but you know, for me, I like it's all good, but I'm not gonna lie. When I woke up this morning, or woke up whenever it was yesterday morning, and I saw that Joyner Lucas was going on a different crusade now with somebody completely different. And I don't even know Steve Stout. I'm not even sure I like Steve Stout. And it was a whole different situation. I'm like, it seems now that this is going to be his thing. I wouldn't be surprised if he dropped a record about it, if he dropped a song about it or something like that. And then I had somebody tell me that Joyner Lucas was jumping in this because he might be dropping a song this week or next week or something. So it's everybody has their motives, though.
I guess, you know. I hope Karen doesn't do anything with a hacker to Jesse or Joyner, because that's crazy. And she admitted it.
You got to ask if she's going to do a hacker to you.
On me?
Yeah.
Well, if I get hacked.
Hack, hack, hack. Hack a Shaq, hack a Rach. That would be so funny. Van, can you help me get my Instagram back? Van, can you help me get my
That's
Instagram back?
That's not what I'll be
back?
Doing.
What would you do? What would you do, Rach?
No, I'm not going to. She's not going to do
Rach,
that.
Tell
she's
me, tell Rach. She's not definitely not going to do that.
No,
but
I know.
Big Rach Pac. What you going to. Oh, but I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this. You got some scalps under your belt.
You do be getting, no, just move on to the top. I'm no way coming in. I'm just talking about what I saw with Karen. Say where there's smoke, there's some fire. And I think you. But if it was my friend, I think that I would have a different perspective as well, because I would know them in a different way. You know her in a different way than I do. Right. So it's like I think you have a little bit more compassion.
Well, compassion, and just to be honest with you, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened between sure. her and Joyner Lucas. You know,
that's where I was coming from.
Yeah.
Will Karen come on the podcast?
Maybe. She's got her own podcast.
Yeah, she should do that.
She's got her own podcast.
You want to generate people to.
She's got her own podcast, so maybe not. And her podcast is on Joe's network, so she probably wouldn't come on this.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
But yeah, quickly, shout out to Lil Nas X on pace to sell 140,000 units on his first week on his album. Great, Grateful Lil Nas X. Jeezy and Jeannie Mai are having a baby. They're having a baby. That's so nice. They're having a baby. Way to go for them. And did you see this whole thing about WAC 100 and Kim Kardashian and Ray J?
I mean, I don't, I'm not familiar with WAC 100. I know you just mentioned him, that he was in the clubhouse as well. Can you explain to me what's going on?
Because so WAC 100,
what is this contract and all this stuff?
Yeah. WAC 100 is the manager of Ray J and The Game.
Oh, he's Ray J's manager?
Yes. And he has been Ray J's manager for a very long time.
Oh, gosh.
You know, Ray J, people don't know how, you know, Ray J got some connections with the politics. People don't know. So WAC 100 was talking to Bootleg Kev. WAC 100, Bootleg Kev. We really getting the thought warriors up on their street shit right now. Shout out Bootleg Kev. And he said that there's another Kim Kardashian Ray J sex tape. And that is more explicit than the other one. Okay. And he told him, he said, the only person he would give it to or sell it to is Kanye West. That's what he told Bootleg Kev. He said, all I know is Kanye, holler at me, bro. We got part two on the laptop. Ain't never been seen. We'd love for you to have it. It'd be a great personal private NFT. The Kardashians' attorneys heard this, what WAC 100 said. If you guys don't know a little bit about WAC, WAC has a very bigger-than-life personality. He's the guy that did the interview on DJ Academics' podcast Off the Record with Tekashi 6ix9ine. Just 3 hours of bullshit, nonsense, everybody screaming, but it went crazy, highly entertaining. A lot of people liked it. But the Kardashians' attorneys heard this, and they said, the claim that there is an unreleased sex tape is unequivocally false. It is unfortunate that people make these statements to try to get their 15 minutes of fame. This is coming from Marty Singer, who is a very high-powered attorney. Some would say that Marty Singer is part attorney and part fixer. So Marty Singer means what he says. Ray J, who of course is in the Kim Kardashian sex tape, Kim Kardashian superstar, went to Instagram and said, this ain't cool. I've been staying off the radar. Radar spelled R-A-Y-D-A-R. Just staying focused and being humble and thankful for all the blessings I'm receiving. How can I show great growth and maturity if this kind of stuff keeps happening? I'm a father now, and my job is to be a parent, put them first. This is not the message I want to send out. All right. WAC, though, is doubling down. WAC says he's going to, hold on. WAC says, a message to Kim Kardashian attorneys. Ask your client about Santa Barbara and the signed deliverables for tape 1, 2, and 3. Ray J can't control what I now control. If I hear 15 minutes of fame again, I'll be forced to display the signed contracts.
But what are the signed Hashtag contracts?
Try me. So these are the signed contracts. I'm sure people know this. In order for a sex tape to come out on Vivid, and the way that Kim Kardashian's sex tape came out on Vivid, both parties have to agree to the release of the sex tape. Both parties. So I can't just
So there's no such thing as a leaked sex tape.
Sure there is. But that sex tape.
But then you get it taken down or sued.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So like, so at Kim at TMZ, there was a vault of sex tapes.
Jeez.
A vault of them. When I say a vault, there were sex tapes from all kinds of people, because what would happen is, and I've seen a lot of them. So what would happen? Like what I've seen all of them. So what would happen is people would make a sex tape, or they would have a sex tape. Let's say you dated a celebrity, or a celebrity dated you. You tape yourself having sex with a celebrity. They then send it to TMZ going, I have this sex tape of this person. The story that TMZ can do, or any place like TMZ, is not about the sex tape itself. They can't show the sex tape. So people think that TMZ leaks your sex tape. They never do. They can't leak your sex tape. What TMZ does is a story saying that someone is trying to sell your sex tape. So if we get a sex tape of this is not, we never got the sex tape of this person. We get a sex tape of Brad Pitt. We don't say, we don't show that. We say, hey, somebody, there's a sex tape of Brad Pitt that exists and somebody's trying to shop it. That's what we used to, that's what they used to do. They don't even do that anymore. At least they didn't when I left, right? Now they just completely leave it alone. But here's the thing. In order for you, in order for TMZ to verify that that story is true, they have to see the sex tape. And that means that you have to send them the sex tape. So they're not going to put up that there's a sex tape and somebody's trying to sell it unless they know that that's true. So in order for them to know that that's true, you have to send it to them and they have to be able to look at it, right? Mm-hmm. And so when they look at it, they then say, okay, this is the sex tape. This is the person. We can definitely see that it's them. And this person is trying to sell this sex tape or is interested in selling this sex tape. And then they run the story or whatever. Now, as far as other sex tapes, if you've seen like an edited scene of a sex tape or stills from a sex tape or anything like that, that's because there was a deal made and Vivid or whomever else, Vivid, which is an adult movie company, Vivid or whomever else has now obtained the rights to the tape and is now doing publicity on the tape and using TMZ as their publicity arm to get word of the tape out. So when he says he has signed contracts, I'm not saying that he has those. I don't know if he has them or not. But in order for the Kim Kardashian sex tape to come out, everybody had to sign off on it. And that's just the reality.
And that tape came out.
Well, the first tape came out.
So that means, so the first tape came out. So they signed off on it.
Kim's people had to. It went to Vivid. It was on Vivid. They had to. Now, I don't know if there's some way to compel them to do it. So legally, I'm not sure if there's some way to compel them to do it. I don't know if they did it under duress. I don't know if somebody goes to them and say, hey, when I say this, I don't mean that she was hunky-dory to put her sex tape out. I don't mean that. I have no clue. I don't know if they go, hey, just let you know, if you don't sign this for this to come out, we just going to put it out anyway, and now you get no bread. Or if so, or I don't know how those machinations go, but I do know in order for it to be signed, packaged, and sold with her face on it, no blurring, her body's, her likeness is completely on it, all of that stuff, both parties have to sign off on that. So what Wax seems to be insinuating here is that there are more tapes that possibly, maybe there could be a situation to where she signed off on whatever sexual experiences that her and Ray J had together that were caught on film.
Mm-hmm.
And she had given them permission to put them out. And maybe at some point Kim Kardashian becomes such a big star that she doesn't want to do this anymore, or they sue them to stop the rest of this stuff to coming out. Wax seems to be insinuating that there's more stuff that she has already signed and given permission to be released.
Wow.
And that he has it.
Why would he want to do this right now? It's like, I mean,
I have no clue.
She's moved on. She's got a family. Ray J said it. What I did note in Ray J's statement, he did not deny it. He just said, I moved on. I'm trying to be a father. I don't want this in my life. He didn't say it's not a real thing. I did note that in a statement. But like, come on, man. Like, Whack 100, living up to the name. Like, it's just nobody wants that.
That's
not cool.
I can't say what's real and what's not. I can say that at this point, the Kardashian empire is just through the roof. It's just like ridiculously important, right? It's ridiculously important. It's ridiculously rich. And they're going to go through, if in fact those other tapes did exist, they would go through every single imaginable length to make sure that they don't see the light of day. Everything that they could possibly do to make sure that they don't come out. And at this point right now, like Ray J said, it would be embarrassing to Ray J too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Ray J and Wack have been friends for a very, very long time. like since Ray J was like a kid, from what I understand. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, man, it's like it's a lot of shit was happening in these internet streets in the last couple of days. A lot of shit.
That's too much.
A lot. Look, look at you. You're such a good person. Your skin's crawling right now. You hate the fuck
shit. Well, because I just think, like, especially Kim's kid, the oldest, is old enough to, like, pick up a computer and Google this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, they've moved on. They've gotten married, divorced. And then you tried to sell it. And then also, let's not forget, he tried to sell it to Kanye first, as if Kanye was in the tape. What do you want to sell it to Kanye for?
Well, because he figures that Kanye will buy it to keep it for the people, other people from buying. Yeah.
It's just slimy. It's just so dirty. Why? It's whack. That's what it is.
All right. That's enough. That's enough podcast. This was a little bit of spicy. The spicy podcast. That's a spicy podcast.
What's wrong with you?
You ever heard that? You ever heard that guy, the spicy meatball guy? Remember him? That's a spicy meatball. This says that. That's a spicy podcast. It really wasn't spicy, but we think what's about it. What other podcast can go from the border crisis to WAC 100? We getting it over here.
I did not want to talk about WAC 100. Actually, I'm not gonna lie. I was extremely curious as to what, because I did ask you for explanations. I actually interviewed you over the story more than anything. I lied. I wanted to know.
Do you think that Steph Curry will like this podcast?
I hope so. You said it meant a lot to him that he said what's up and that he listened. So
every time I watch Steph Curry shoot, I go to the gym and I'm like, you know what? If I just get up 500 a day, I can be him.
Wow. I wish I had that much confidence in myself.
I can shoot, but that's talent. See, I wonder why people don't think that that's talent. People go, oh my God, athletic talent is talent. But it's a lot of niggas that it don't matter how much you shoot, they never going to go in like that. He's got a special kind of coordination and body control that just makes him have that yacker.
Yeah, it's athletic. That's what they created and won for.
This is my thing. This is the very serious question of the week. Mm-hmm. This is Van's very serious question of the week. Okay. You get control of white people.
Oh, gosh.
All of white people.
All of them. Okay.
You control every white person on the planet for 24 hours. What are you going to do?
That's such a loaded question.
Tell me.
What am I going to do?
You control. You mind control every white person on the planet for 24 hours. What would you do?
I wouldn't even need every single white person, right?
I didn't say who you would need. I think I would
divvy them up. You know, like.
Well, how would you divvy them?
I don't know. I would. This is such a loaded question. You know, for ones with power, for the white ones that had power, I would do something to where they gave it to us. Like I would be writing laws that would benefit and help the community.
But that's not going to matter because you can write the laws. You only got them for 24 hours.
Are you kidding me? I can rewrite everything. Why would it have to go through a system? I could write it. I could pass it. I could
It's not going to happen.
Why are you messing with my 24 hours?
This is
what I mean about loaded. Yes, I can. If I'm the governor, I could call an emergency session. I gather everybody there. I could pass something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It could
maybe
be okay.
Right.
Thank you. I take some to the bank, and we'd be emptying some stuff out and giving back. Because it wouldn't be about me. It would be for the people.
Right.
Right. The haves, we would be giving to the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else would I do? I'd make some apologize for some things that they've done. There'd be some apologies given. All right, I'm done. I gave you three.
Nice.
Okay, thank you.
Nice. The first thing I would do is return the land. So this is what I would do. My day would be divvied up into three different sections.
Okay.
All right. The first part of the day is going to be a research part. So we're going to have the finest minds in the world working on the problem of how Black Americans lost the in the 1900s, Black Americans owned around 15 million acres of land. Now we own less than five or something like that. So we want our land back. Usury, white terrorism, bad contract buying schemes and stuff like that. All of that stopped us and took our land from us. We want that land back and we want more land. The whole, my whole day, my whole 24-hour process is one big land grab.
Okay.
We're going to get all kinds. You know what? Ted Turner by himself owns more land than like 3/4 of Black America. Ted got to come off some of that land. land. It's going to be a lot of land because land is something that once we have it, they're not going to be able to come get it back from us. We can have the land. We can have the fucking land. I want the land back. And also, we're going to get a lot of movies. We're going to get a lot of different movies greenlit. And we're going to get the contracts written. We're going to get all the movies made that we want to get made. We're going to change up everything.
Okay, so you're all about the contracts, right? You're going to bind them. You're going to bind them in 24 hours.
Bind.
So when they snap out of it,
they're going to be like, what the fuck? They're going to be like, Jesus.
They're going to be like WAC 100. I got the signed contracts for 1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3. They're going to wake up in the morning like, Jesus Christ. people like, who greenlit Soul Plane, the TV show? Who fucking greenlit that? Jesus Christ. Who greenlit a whole fucking television show on what Calvin from McDonald's is doing now? Like who greenlit that? Now let me ask you a question. You're not curious about that? You're not curious about what Calvin from McDonald's is doing now? They never updated us on what happened to Calvin. Calvin got a job at McDonald's. Think about how fucked up things were that Calvin got a job at McDonald's and the whole fucking neighborhood celebrated. That's how
it's
fucked up it is out
article.
There. About what happened to Calvin? Yeah. What is he doing now?
This is like 7 years ago.
I want
to
know.
What happened to Calvin? Most of us who were 90s teens remember Calvin. We watched him grow over a few years as he progressed from a young kid looking forward to his new job at McDonald's to ultimately working his way up to manager.
Manager. Does Calvin own the McDonald's? Does Calvin own several McDonald's? Did Calvin make an offshoot of McDonald's called McDowell's or McCalvin's? Did Calvin steal the shit? Did Calvin fuck the McDonald's off? Did Calvin get a little feely with the fucking register? Did Calvin embarrass us? Or did Calvin, that's the kind of shit that if we were in control, those are the kind of questions. Of course, with other things, we probably help fix Africa, all of that stuff. But those are the kind of questions that white people just forget about. They put out the whole Calvin thing, and then they make us get involved and invested in the Calvin, and then all of a sudden, it's just gone. That's the shit. That's the shit I would be doing with my daughter.
I'm trying to find it. He's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found.
He's in my 24 hours, I would definitively find what the fuck happened to Calvin. As a matter of fact, I want to talk to thought warriors. This is your task. Put your tentacles out. Put your feelers out. I want to talk to the actor who played Calvin. Where is he at? Where is he? Where is he at? What is he doing? The actor who played Calvin. Is Calvin okay? That's enough podcast.
Let's go. Okay? Let's
take your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We out. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.